Get deeper insights on the news from inside sources.
Well, Iran spent years increasing its influence in the Middle East. Also, the use of proxy paramilitary groups such as Hamas and Hezbollah, the Houthis in Yemen. And now as things get more intense with a strike against Israel over the weekend, and now the world waits to see what the Israeli response will be. We want to get into the question is, what is the U.S. strategy in relationship to Iran? We often say that hope is very important, but hope is not a strategy. And sometimes it appears that the administration is grasping maybe a little more at hope than it is strategy when it comes to Iran. Someone who's taken a deep dive on this, Nihal Tusi, Politico's senior foreign affairs correspondent, has a great piece on the strategy. And Nihal, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So give us kind of your perspective in terms of where is the administration, where is President Biden in terms of strategy, or are we just kind of hoping?
Well, the Biden administration does not have an Iran strategy. That's kind of the bottom line for me after talking to a bunch of people and covering this stuff for years and following Iran in particular. And that's kind of what it comes down to. Now, some people will, quibble over what counts as a strategy. But the way I see it is that if you have a strategy, it needs to solve a problem. And if you consider Iran a problem, as they do, you need to have a strategy to try to solve that problem, whether it's its behavior or one aspect of it, such as its nuclear program or something. And they don't really have anything right now. They just don't. It's more about, it's long been about keeping it off the president's desk the last several months. That's been much harder. But it's been mostly about just kind of containing things, keeping it as low boil as possible, managing the problem instead of solving it.
Yeah, and I think that's such an important perspective to dig into. And you do this beautifully in the piece, talking about the difference between tactics and strategy. And you can actually go back to The Art of War. The Art of War says strategy without tactics is the slowest path to victory. But tactics without a strategy is just the noise before defeat. And you used words like containment and de-escalation and deterrence, kind of that tactical stuff. Is there any semblance in there in terms of a strategy, or what is the conversation moving toward as things do escalate in the Middle East?
Well, I think, at the moment, the immediate focus is trying to limit this conflagration between Iran and Israel, right? So there's not a lot of energy into longer-term strategy about Iran, which is in many ways, the kind of the root of so much of the destabilization across the Middle East, according to the Biden administration itself. But one way that they are approaching it is kind of a backward approach, which is they do have a strategy called regional integration, right? So this is where they want to get the Israelis and the Saudis to become friends and hopefully create a pathway for a Palestinian state. As part of that, they want to build economic security and other types of relationships between Israel and Arab countries, at least some of them in the Middle East. And the idea being that because many of these Arab countries also dislike Iran, just like Israel does, that maybe if they unite with Israel, you'll have this united front that will put pressure on Tehran and the Islamist regime there. And so it's sort of this idea that maybe over time this will weaken the regime there. The problem with that is that the Middle East is a very complicated place and every single country has its own interests. The Saudis, even as they have been talking to the Israelis about getting something going, they've also been trying to mend fences with Iran, right? And there's other countries that are not willing to come on board with Israel. And now the war in Gaza has made that even more complicated. So the administration, bottom line is it really does not know what to do when it comes to Iran itself. And there is the argument that if you can, I don't know, it's a hard problem though, right? I want to give them some credit. This is a really hard problem.
Yeah, the degree of difficulty factor is very high. So we will grant the administration that for sure. The interesting thing to me is not just in the Middle East, but in other places, it seems that the administration has really taken this approach to a lot of areas around the world as sort of the de-escalate almost at not at any cost, but almost. And it seems like that has prevented them from getting to strategy, because if all you think you have to do is the tactic, as you point out, of de-escalating, it just buys you that little bit of time, and it's sort of it's kind of like cash flow in a business. It covers a multitude of problems underneath that. A de-escalation, you can say, oh, we're fine, we're good, and then you don't actually solve it, as you pointed out.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that we don't really have the best China strategy. I mean, they actually do have a China strategy, an approach to China that you can argue, you know, could amount to strategy. Again, the word strategy, people define it in different ways. I'm the first to admit that, you know. Some people will say de-escalation and containment are strategies. I disagree.
Yeah.
but you know, when it comes to China right now, one thing they've just been trying to do the last year and a half, 2 years, has just been easing the tension with China to the point where we can just have conversations with them. I mean, there was a long time where, you know, our top guys couldn't even get the top Chinese officials to talk to them. So sometimes you do have to take certain steps to just lower the temperature. But there's also the problem that if you don't address the root issue and you just deal with the symptoms, ultimately, it's not going to work, right? And frankly, the Palestinian issue is an example, right? Mm. For a long time, the U.S., but also Israel in particular, they just were like, you know what, we can just manage this. We can just manage the Palestinian issue. We'll occasionally have a face-off with Hamas. We'll, you know, do some raids here and there, and it'll just be under control, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't try to resolve it, the political crisis with them, the security. There's so many issues that, you know, that many people believe will ultimately can be solved in a Palestinian state. Some people will disagree with that, but the point is that they didn't try to solve it, and you know, we saw what happened in a way. Like it just didn't go away.
Yeah,
as we have well learned.
Which is usually the case when you're just trying to maintain the status quo. It never stays the status quo forever. Things change, and I want to get to one other area that you pointed out in your Politico piece, and that is looking at some of the dynamics moving forward that could impact. Again, if there is a strategy that could impact that, including the fact that the Supreme Leader Khamenei is 85 this week. Actually, I think today is his birthday. Is it the 19th? Yeah, it's his birthday.
Oh, is it? I did not know that.
You learn something new every day, right? So as you look at that, and obviously there will be a change, a transition is coming. So how will that, or how is that likely to impact what is happening, and then how the U.S. will either continue to try to manage or come up with a strategy for?
You know, correct. I mean, they need to be thinking about that. Any Iran strategy needs to factor in succession. It's not clear who's going to succeed Khamenei at this stage. It's not clear when. And, you know, one of the challenges for any government, whether democracy, but especially dictatorships that are loathed by their people, is that a transition is almost always a moment of vulnerability, yeah. Right? It is where things can happen, where things can fall apart. And so it's a question of how you deal with that, whether you have the systems in place to react to that. It's important to remember one thing, though, which is Iran. It's not just a dictatorship of one man. It really is a system. It's almost like, you know, like a spider web,
yeah.
Right? And it does have the ability to regenerate itself. Whether it's, you know, even if you kill like the top IRGC commander, they just promote another guy,
right,
you know?
Right.
So it's a little bit more tricky than say a place, like Saddam Hussein's Iraq, right? Where it really kind of was all about him.
Yeah.
And everything kind of fell apart when he fell. So it's going to be tricky. Perhaps there's some brilliant minds out there coming up with a strategy. Notice that I did not offer my own strategy because I'm not that smart, right? But I do hope people will read my column.
Everybody needs to read your column because it's both great writing and it's great insight, as always. Nahal, thank you so much for joining us today. Nahal Tusi, Politico's Senior Foreign Affairs Correspondent. And we will have you come back with the strategy next time, Nahal. Thanks so much for joining us. Okay, game on. Game is on. All right.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to step aside for some bottom of the hour news. More inside sources coming up next. Nahal Tusi from Politico. That's why we do this show. She is wicked smart. We'll be right back.